What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are starting a new series today regarding counseling and the attributes of God. So for some of you that recall, we've worked through a couple of topics over the past month and a half, 2 months, and that is red flags in dating. We've worked through the idea of so-called mental illnesses, and you're seeing those release. I would encourage you, as you're engaging with me in content, many of you will write in and give me suggestions on helpful topics. And so that's, again, where this next series is coming from, which would be counseling and the attributes of God, meaning what do we need to hear about God and how does that affect transformation in our lives? If you haven't listened to them, this is going to harken back. And yes, I did use the H word. Harken back to January 11th, 2023. The first two episodes that were released on Transformed are really talking about how you are transformed. Big picture, we are image bearers. And that means that we reflect back. That's part of our purpose. We are called to reflect God and to be like God in certain aspects. So your transformation takes place as you behold God. So in those two episodes of Transform from about a year and a half ago, I really do talk through how beholding God brings about transformation in your life. And understanding that really does change things. When you understand that your vision of God and who He is, according to His Word, begins to shape you as a person. And as a believer, you can authentically behold Him through His Word. In fact, a friend of mine, former colleague, his name is Stuart Scott, he said in a lecture in 2008 at an ACBC conference, he said, whenever sinful behavior exists, one should suspect faulty views of God. So assign counselees to read portions of God's Word on His attributes. Assign them to read supplemental works on God from authors like Tozier, Pink, Charnock, MacArthur, Sproul, Piper. Assign Bible studies on knowing God. Assign memory work and meditation verses about God, meditating often. Stuart was getting at this idea of we really want to help saturate ourselves and saturate other people with the truth of who God is as revealed in His Word. So today I want to focus on the attribute of God's immutability. Meaning, what does it mean that God is unchangeable? Some theologians will say unchangeableness. That always feels like a big word. I can never spell it properly. Unchangeableness. Other theologians will use the term immutability. Immutability is probably a little bit more challenging. When I say unchangeableness, you get what I'm speaking about. Dr. MacArthur, in his Biblical Doctrine, says that immutability is the doctrine that God is unchanging, with reference to His unchanging character and dependability. You're going to know a Grudem definition perhaps as well. Usually Grudem is one of the standard theologians that are cited in modern times. And Grudem says God is unchanging in His being, perfections, purposes, and promises. Yet God does act and feel emotions, and He acts and feels differently in response to different situations. Both of these definitions are drawing out the character of God or His attribute of being immutable. And both are attempting to emphasize that God's character does not change. One nuance that Dr. Grudem provides is that God, He does respond, and God does choose of His own decision-making to respond to us, meaning He's not caused to act by us. So He does act differently, and He does act differently in response to different situations. That removes a stoic God or a God that is distant and disconnected. The scripture teaches that God is going to be a wrathful God, that's responding to sin, or that God blesses, and that's responding to faithfulness and obedience. So we do know that according to the scripture, God is not controlled by us. We do not determine Him. He is self-sufficient, and yet He is a God who responds. So when you hear God is unchanging, don't let it conjure up this vision of God that He is disconnected or think of a theistic view of God, that he's there somewhere, but he's really uninvolved in our lives. No, immutability just simply is emphasizing his character does not change. His character doesn't change. So God may respond differently and act differently in different circumstances, but who he is in his being does not change. And so that's what we're really driving at. So I want to highlight three passages that demonstrate this from the scripture. The first is going to be from Psalm 102, verse 25. It says this, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, and you will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." So did you capture some of those? You laid the foundations. The heavens are the work. They perish. You remain. They're going to be gone, but you will not be gone. They will pass away, but you will have no end. God is unchanging. And I love the beauty of this idea that even the things we consider to be ancient are still changing and dying, and God is remaining the same. Think of the world and think of the aspects of our world. When we look at even ancient parts of our world, the psalmist says that those things will perish, but God will remain and he will remain the same. Psalm 102, 25 to 27. The next one that I want to highlight is from Malachi chapter 3. This is what God himself actually says. He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." When the Lord speaks of his own character, his character is consistent, and thus he acts in a way that is consistent with his character. Now, that's going to even bleed over into his faithfulness. He does all that he says. He keeps all of his promises, and we know that because he is a God that does not change. So you may see aspects of his character that are highlighted in different parts of the scripture. It's an easy read in 1 John, the letter. It's an easy read to see that John talks a lot about love. God is love. If you don't love, you don't know God. And you could say John highlights the attribute of God's love, but that doesn't mean that God is only love. God is love. God is wrath. God is all of these attributes as revealed in scripture. So we see those highlighted, but God's character doesn't change. That's why some of you read the Old Testament and you think like, "Woo-wee, I'm so glad I don't live under that era of God's reign, or that God has changed the way that he responds to us." No, you have to know that God's character is the same in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And there may be aspects of his character that are highlighted. And when you see a person perish because they did not take the holiness of God seriously, that same devotion to his own holiness is existent in God's character today. So you wouldn't want to say, "Well, the New Testament God is the God of love. The Old Testament God is the God of wrath." No, because then God's character is actually changing. God is all of those attributes equally at once. He is immutable. He does not change. So the highlight or the aspect of his character may be different, what is being emphasized in the scripture, but his character isn't changing in the end. Okay, so one last verse. If you do have a Bible in front of you, go over to this verse with me. Go to James chapter 1. I find James to be a helpful analogy because James is going to use this idea of a shadow to communicate the way that God does not change. And when you think about this analogy that James provides, it really is a helpful analogy. James 1 verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." You have the goodness of God baked into this verse as well. That's verse 17, the good and perfect gift, complete gift. God is the source of all good. We know that. He himself is good and does good. Psalm 119:68. In reality, there is no higher standard of goodness than God himself. And so all of the good that we experience in this life, 1 Timothy 4:3, those are an overflow of God's goodness to us. So what's the point here that I'm trying to draw? Not necessarily the goodness of God, which is here in this verse, but that God is the source of good with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. James uses this idea of a shadow. So if you were to have a flashlight in your hand right now and you were to shine it and a shadow was produced based off of how you were illuminating an object or something in your car, whatever that is, then you would see that shadow just jumping around a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. What James is saying is, light a candle, watch the shadow jump. God's character does not jump like that. It doesn't change. He is consistently good. He is good all the time. Verse 17. So he is the father of lights in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Why is that comforting in this immediate context? Because you know that he will be good to you all the time. If he is immutable, then that means that his immutability demonstrates his goodness will always be present. There's never an off day with God. You never found him on a day where he's underrested, sleepy, whatever that is, didn't eat well, and he is not going to be good that day. No, the scripture teaches the opposite, that he is good. And in this context, he is good all the time. Why? Because he is immutable. So think of his immutability here. As you're listening to this, think of his immutability. Does not change. There is no different God from Old Testament to New Testament. God is the same in his character. And when you look at his character can be banked on both today and then leading into the future. So get that understanding and get it clear. And if you want to use unchangeableness, I'm open to that. If you want to use immutability, I'm open to that as well. Now, we will move to in our next segment, how does that affect counseling and how does this bring about transformation? So, Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and then we will be right back.
Thank you, Dr. Gifford. And we will be right back in just a moment as he continues to dig in and dive into the attributes of God. But before we do that, I want to share some resources with you. One in particular that I know that you need to have on your bookshelf, because every Christian needs to have this on their bookshelf. And this book is not only going to help drive home what Dr. Gifford's talking about today, it's going to help drive home what he's going to be talking about in the next few weeks to come as we look at the attributes of God. And that's the name of the resource I want to recommend, The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. It's a book that every Christian needs to have on their bookshelf. Pink digs into the characteristics of God, and he gives deep insight into his immutability and his unchanging nature, but also his other attributes. And so if you're looking for a resource like that that goes along with this series Dr. Gifford is doing over the next few weeks, then I highly recommend you pick up The Attributes of God in the Transformed store right now at transformed.org. Now, while you're there on our website, I want to also ask that you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Our ministry here at Gospel Partners Media strives on the generous support of listeners just like you. And when you become a gospel partner, what you do is help us continue producing not only Transformed, but all of our other resources like Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, Breaking Bread, and a whole host of others. Your donations enable us to equip believers and provide biblically sound content to those who need it most. But again, as we remind you, only consider this if you're already faithfully supporting your local church and you're not in any kind of debt. We want your giving to be a blessing, not a burden. So if you're in a position to help, head over to transform.org to learn about what it would look like for you to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And finally, before we get back to Dr. Gifford in the second half of today's look into the immutability of God, I want to remind you that we have other fantastic resources at transform.org, particularly if you've been thinking about becoming a biblical counselor. One of those resources I'd recommend is The Gospel According to Jesus by Dr. John MacArthur, an excellent guide for you to understand the core of the gospel message and how it applies to our lives. All right, well, that's going to about wrap it up for me. We have got to get back to Dr. Gifford now as he continues diving and digging into the immutability of God. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. As Jimmy has noted, transform.org has become a killer resource, a place you can go and just trust what is there for books and pamphlets and so forth. So even scroll all the way to the bottom of the page and you'll see free resources that we've added to help equip you in your own personal transformation and caring for others, maybe even in a counseling context. So I've been talking about the attributes of God, starting with God's immutability. And I want to now finish our last segment here with thinking through the implications of God's immutability for our lives personally. So remember, when we say that God is immutable, he does not change in his character. His character is the same. He is dependable. He does act and feel differently in response to different situations, but his character nevertheless is the same. So what does that do in your life? First of all, what does that do? How does this bring about transformation? And some of you are ministering to others. I've had folks write in and say, hey, Dr. Gifford, I assign folks to listen to your podcast for counseling homework. So more power to you. But I'm going to speak as if this is first of all you. How does this bring about transformation in your life? And then you feel free to apply this to the lives of those that you might be ministering to. So number one, consider the belief in other attributes of God. If God does in fact change, then is he wise all of the time? Or is he good all of the time? Is he loving all of the time? Is he sovereign all of the time? The immutability of God, it really is going to be a hinge upon which some of the other attributes will rotate. Because if you think that God can change, then you are undermining the entire character of God. Maybe he was good, but he's not good anymore. That's the Asaph confession, Psalm 73. Truly you are good to those in Israel, but for me, I don't know. Well, you can't say that if you do believe in immutability. You can't say that God was good, but he's not good anymore. Or you can't say that he was wise, but this is really a silly act on his part. You can't say those things. God is all of his attributes, and those things do not change. Those attributes do not change. So your belief in the character of God and your equal emphasis on his attributes is greatly affected by accepting and holding to immutability. So then in all practicality, there are times when it doesn't feel like God is that attribute still, and you're reminding yourself of the immutability of God. No, he never changes. He promises that. He stays the same. Yes, the world changes and passes away, but God will remain the same. So that first is understanding that immutability will help the other attributes be present in times when they don't feel present. So consider those of us that are emotions-led, number two. Some of us are very emotions-led. There are multiple things that go into being emotions-led. I did a couple of episodes on Transform not too long ago, and I said, you know what? Our culture goes into this just a little bit. Some of us, we feel deeply in part because we come from a culture that feels deeply. Some of us feel deeply because we come from a family that feels deeply, and it almost feels like betrayal to suppress those emotions and feelings, and we almost give too much credence to them. If you are an emotions-led individual, you have to ground yourself in the immutability of God, because there are going to be days when your emotions do not properly inform you of who he is. There are days when it feels like God is not for you, and you're going to have to go back to the scripture and say, if I am truly his child, then Romans 8 says I'm his elect and God is for me and he didn't spare his son. So how will he not with his son freely give all things? Like, I have to bake that into my own understanding. If you are struggling with being emotions led, saturate yourself with the immutability of God, because God does not change no matter how you feel. God is for you as his child. God is with you. God has not abandoned you, yet your emotions at times will suggest the opposite. So belief in other attributes of God are girded up, they are strengthened through immutability. Number two, emotion-led folks, we have to understand the immutability of God. Don't let our emotions inform our understanding of God. Number three, tell me if you guys know this term, flakiness. You know flaky? You know what I mean by flaky? I'm kind of saying it like in a weird way. Flaky? What I mean by that is a person who's very temperamental, on again, off again. It's the person that shows up at church and they're like, I'm so sick of living for myself. I'm going all in for Jesus. And then we don't see him again next week. And we're like, wait, hey, I thought you just rededicated your life three times. Come on. Flakiness is often a person who their yay is not their yay and their nay is not their nay. It is connected to faithfulness, but flakiness is going to be more like a person that they really are living off the ebb and flow of their emotions and what's going on that day. So I find emotions led can lead to being a flaky person. So if God is the same today, if God does not change, if there is no character that is diminishing in God, then how does that affect our stability? As a person who struggles to be on today, off tomorrow, high today, low tomorrow, we have to be able to gird ourselves up and ground ourselves in the truth that God is unchanging in his being, perfections, and purposes. So I don't want to give in to my own flakiness. I don't want to be the kite that rides high and then stoops low. I don't want to be that. I want to be a person that's stable, consistent. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I want to be unchanging as best as I can. This isn't to say that I can be completely unchanging, but I want to at least be stable and consistent, following through on commitments and so forth. So maybe you're a person that struggles with being a little flaky. Then ground yourself in the immutability of God and become like him to the best of your possibility. Like how can I be more like God? I'm just being stable. All right, emotions led, stable versus flaky, belief in other attributes. Consider those that have been significantly betrayed, number four. This is hard, and this is going to lead into the next one, but there are many folks, some of you are listening to this podcast, that you have been betrayed in very deep and meaningful ways. And you have been betrayed by people that should not have betrayed you. Family, loved ones, spouses. So what do you need to saturate yourself with? The immutability of God. Man does fail us at times. They do. And it stinks to say that. They shouldn't. There are certain relationships that should have never done that, and that betrayal should never be there by that person. And yet it is. And how are we going to be okay? Because we are grounding ourselves in the fact that God doesn't change. And yes, we may have been betrayed by that person that exposed our trust. They exposed our love for them. They used us for their advantage. Yes, that may have happened, but why are we going to be okay? Because God doesn't change. His character is the same. If you've been betrayed in significant ways, I would encourage you to get back to the attribute of God's immutability. Yeah, we are still hurt by other people. I don't want to minimize that. But the pain is not as painful whenever I am grounded in God's immutability. It's still painful. You have to know that. It's still painful. It still hurts. But God's immutability is what makes us okay. Because he's at our right hand, we will not be greatly shaken. That's our prayer. So we ground ourselves in the truth that God does not change, even though people may betray us or people may hurt us in significant ways. If you are number five, a person who is slow to trust, you're very skeptical. You kind of have like the inner police detective. Everybody's guilty of something until you've proven them innocent. You know, if that's you, I would encourage you start to saturate yourself with the truth that God doesn't change. And if you're slow to trust and you're slow to warm up to people, then maybe what you have to do is actually soften to the fact that you are doing your best to be like God and trust God in his unchangeableness. And you can love people and find your security in the Lord. So if you're slow to trust, maybe you need to ground yourself back in the character of God that he doesn't change. And that's why you're going to be okay to trust people and believe the best in them. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love believes all things. And that just simply means that love believes the best in other people. So I've said the way that you understand other attributes of God is affected by immutability. Emotions-led folks need to saturate themselves with immutability. The flaky person needs to understand immutability. The betrayed counselee needs to saturate themselves with immutability. If you're slow to trust, ground yourself in the immutability of God. And lastly, I would just say those that have grown up in tumultuous circumstances, I think of foster adopt kids. I think of kids that have had really lousy parents. They're moving in with boyfriends. I think of just that mess. What makes you okay in tumultuous circumstances? God is your rock and your refuge, and he always will be. And parents have had tumultuous existences, but why do we as kids have a bright future and hope? Because our hope is in the character of God and the fact that our parents may have changed a lot, but our God does not change. So if you're hearing tumultuous circumstance or slow to trust or any of these applications, I would say, all right, get to the root of that. And some of the root of that is helping a person behold the glory of God in his immutability. And when you see that, it brings transformation so that you are a more stable person and that you are going to be able to persevere in tumultuous circumstances. So number one, immutability, counseling and the attributes of God. Let's start with immutability. So thanks for joining us today. When you come back to our next episode, I'm going to pick up with our next attribute and then we'll keep plugging away here. So let me pray for you guys and then we'll be done for today. Lord, thank you for your word that reveals your character to us. So as we study it, we can know who you are and we can be transformed to be like you. I do pray for the listeners that as they're reading their scriptures this week, that it just wouldn't be about consummation or some type of consumption of knowledge, but rather that they would seek to behold who you are and then to reflect you back. We ask for grace for this so that we would honor you and that we would do a lot of good to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.